I want to take some time to reflect here, what is quite appropriate for us, on the topic of prayer. If we want to talk about prayer, there are just an abundance of places that we could go in the scriptures. We could look at everything from the Old Testament. We could look at prayers within the Bible, actual prayers that are said. We could look at the example of the apostles and Jesus. We could look at specific statements and teachings about prayer. It's everywhere in the Bible. It would be really difficult for us to read more than a chapter or two and not have something to glean about the topic of prayer. But I just want to reflect on just a few passages together. And would love for you to reflect with me, and by all means, as you have thoughts and as you have input and insights and questions. And I want to begin by thinking about the importance of praying continuously, as that phrase is often used. And I want to go first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 16 through 18. And again, that phrase, and this idea, I mean, even if we get away from some of the language, the idea of the importance of how often we pray and the nature in which we pray and lingering in prayer and finding a way to pray throughout our day, the importance of these things, so many places we could look, but I just chose a couple that we could look at this evening. And so I want to read just those few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, end of the verse. Tiny little verses here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. End of the verse. Next verse, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, kind of if we hone in on verse 17 is the sort of crux of what I want to look at here. He's ultimately making this point that I'm introducing here, that to pray without ceasing. Imperative. Commandment given to us under the authority of an apostle and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we've studied in recent weeks. So we need to pray without ceasing. That's a hard thing to do. How do you pray without ceasing? Don't we have to stop to eat? Don't we have to stop to sleep? Well, again, there's a principle and a point to be had here. But how do we do it? Look at verse 16. Rejoice always. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing in our lives, we can go to the Lord with a spirit of rejoicing, with a heart that is rejoicing, knowing that ultimately all is well in Christ. And we pray without ceasing, meaning that we live our lives in a spirit of prayer. We live our lives in a way that we can always tap in to the Holy Spirit in prayer. Whether we are in the shower, whether we're sitting in traffic, whether we're eating a meal together, whether we're sitting in church, no matter what we're doing, we can be in prayer. What do we pray about, and how do we pray when we think more specifically? Well, look at verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Just pause there. Even when it's difficult, even when there are questions that we have, we don't have an answer. Think about all the different requests that we've put forward and, you know, the people that are in some of these situations even very personal for those in this room. How do we go through this? Ultimately, we find ways to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Have you ever asked that question? I wonder what God's will is in this situation. I wonder what God would have me do. Well, of course, we know that objectively we can go to the scriptures and know God's will objectively in very clear ways. And yet there are also these subjective ways in which we ultimately seek God's will through prayer, right? But one thing we know objectively here, that we would give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Anything else that speaks to you in that verse before we move on? I think there's a lot there for us to think about. Have you ever found yourself taking up that challenge to pray without ceasing? Bob. Yeah. Even the sort of life that you're living, the lifestyle, that makes a difference, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I used to commute from Baton Rouge down to New Orleans, and it was about an hour and a half commute. I used that time well, too. And there are certain things that sort of, you know, welcome that. Going for a walk, praying while you're walking, there's certain things it's easier to do. It's a little harder, you know, if you're, you know, doing other certain sort of mental things. But there is a way to be in a spirit of praying, to pray always. Who is our best model of praying without ceasing? Well, we'll get there eventually through here. Anything else before we move on? Yeah, Glenn. Say it a little louder. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Very often, now, and I don't have it here. That's interesting. It's the Holman that you're reading. It's interesting. Often when the text does that, it's because it's either poetic in some sense, or sometimes, like for instance, we have in Colossians, we have a few other places where it's believed to be some sort of early confessional statement, a statement that the church would have even recited. In this sense, probably because it's poetic. I have it on my phone, technically. If I could pull it up in the Greek, I could probably be able to tell you. It might have an alliteration to it in that way. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and I pointed that out for a reason. As Glenn's mentioning, you've got these little short, crisp verses here. Very often, you've either got compound ideas or, you know, there's something else at work in terms of what we're talking about here. Anything else? Leon. Amen. It sounds like Adrian Rogers. Is that who it was? That might be Adrian Rogers. Yeah, no, and it's true that there's a sense in which, in fact, we're going to get there in just a minute. So let's go on to Ephesians, unless there's something else on this. And this is going to follow the same idea. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. This is still the Apostle Paul speaking. Ephesians chapter 6. And this is the well-known passage speaking about the armor of God. You've got the helmet of righteousness, you've got the breastplate, right? You've got the helmet. Feet shod and all the different parts of the armor of God, right? And we teach this to kids, don't we? I mean, there's something really compelling about this, even seeing an image of it. In fact, I hate to admit this, I'm pretty sure that the first sermon I ever preached when I was in youth ministry, I was probably 17 or 18, was on this. I'm sure it was atrocious. but you've got your first opportunity to do that, but I felt good about it. I loved it. But yeah, there's something compelling about that. So this is flowing right out of that passage, right? So Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying at all times, something more specific, in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then he's going to go on to ask for more specific prayers for him particularly. But praying at all times in the Spirit. And again, we often shrink back a little bit from that as Baptists sometimes. We don't know what to do with that. How do you pray in the Spirit? Is that like sort of like ecstatic utterances and stuff? No, I don't think that that's what that's saying. I don't think that's what we don't have to take. This is something that I think that all of us should embrace. Praying in the Holy Spirit. There, obviously there is the communion that we have with God that is in Christ, in Christ's name, and yet through the Holy Spirit. And so this is a powerful idea for us to consider here, how we commune with the Lord. And then more specifically here, with all prayer and supplications. Right? What are some thoughts about that before we go on to that next clause? Anything that stands out to you? All the different ways that we pray. Right? We have prayers sometimes that are prayers of tears. Just not knowing what to say, just being in anguish. And yet sometimes prayers of jubilation and rejoicing. There's so many different ways that we pray. We pray about having a meal, which feels, you know, more, I mean, we get so used to it, it can feel a little bit ordinary. It shouldn't feel bland. There's a sense in which that can be very meaningful. And there's a way that we pray corporately, right? As a church, as a family, pray as a couple, pray with friends. And yet all the importance of this, the different ways that we pray with all prayers and supplication, all the different things that we lift up to God, all the different needs in our heart and our lives, again, and even corporately within the body of Christ. To that end, he says, his purpose statement here, keep alert. Prayer is important to help us keep alert, to help us to be sober-minded, as Paul says in other places, that words may be given, ultimately that's in verse 19, coming back up here, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying for one another. When's the last time you prayed for a brother and sister in the church that wasn't on the prayer list? We should pray for for those specific needs, but just praying for God's grace over them, praying for God's blessing over them, praying for that their walk would be deeper with the Lord, praying for all the saints, all believers. Our prayers are not limited in any way that we think of other limitations, right? Like today we have communication with people in ways that people 100 years ago, 200 years ago certainly did not have, right? And yet we're still limited in some ways. There's actually a whole host of ways. I have friends that I haven't kept up with from high school, and I have no way to contact them, right? But I can pray for them in some way. I don't know where so-and-so ended up, but I can pray for him. That guy that I knew in church that you know, it seemed to have left and don't know what happened to him, I can pray for him. God knows where he is. There's no limit to any of this, making supplication for all the saints. God is in no way limited. Sometimes, have you ever prayed a prayer and thought to yourself, this is just too big? Like, have you ever prayed, God, bless all the churches in the whole world, or something like that? Now, it sounds so grand to us and so big, but that's not too bold. But that we would pray for all the saints. Other thoughts, insights in this? This importance, again, I'm following this theme, as we saw in the last one, to pray continuously, praying at all times in the Spirit, in communion with the Lord. Is it less spiritual to pray prayers that are written out or thought out? Right? You know, there's something in us, and we're what would be called a free church. There are other more hierarchical churches that would have liturgies and have prayers written out. Sometimes that feels less spiritual. It doesn't have to be. Like, sometimes that's very helpful to write out a prayer. Sometimes it's very helpful to write out requests and things like that and be able to even script out a prayer. That is a good thing. We can worship God with our mind as much as we can the spontaneity of our hearts. Anything else on that? Yeah, Joy. That's a really good thought. There's something about, especially if it's a time of high stress and there's just a lot going on, sometimes we don't almost even have the mental energy to have a really clearly thought out expressed prayer. There's a cure for that. Now, sometimes it's just going to be unavoidable, right? So if you're going off a cliff in your car and you've got 3 seconds, it's probably going to be unscripted, right? Okay? God, help me to survive. I'm coming home, you know? So in that situation, there may not be a lot of help. But there's actually a lot of really important things that we can do in those situations. One of them is memorizing Scripture. All the Scripture that you memorize, you can pray that back to God. Jesus did that. Jesus was praying one of the Psalms when he was on the cross. And so the more Scripture that we memorize and internalize in our hearts, it naturally comes out. And so we fill ourselves up by memorizing Scripture, by meditating on Scripture, so that when we're in those moments, those impromptu moments, Scripture naturally comes out. And again, if we go back to this text, praying the will of God, we're going to look at more about that in a moment when we get to 1 John. But all these things are so important as we think about ultimately filling ourselves up so that our prayers naturally give God's word even back to them and ultimately even give us language. Bob? Amen. Amen. And so many times, you know, that's not necessarily known, right? They may not know that you're praying for them. And yet, what a blessing. What an immense blessing. The nurse may not know. Oh, yeah, Dorinda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And at the end of the day, it's if there's a sincerity there, that's what's important here. There is a way that it could become almost trite, but it doesn't need to be. You know, there's a sense in which, you know, when we're sincere, you know, walking with the Lord in that way, it's just we live such busy, scattered lives, it's difficult for us. It is. There's a discipline to this. Prayer is one of the spiritual disciplines. And a discipline that may or may not sound, that may sound like a novel idea, but it shouldn't. At some point, I'd like for us to do a series on Wednesday nights through the spiritual disciplines, Bible intake, prayer, meditation, etc., fasting, and so on. One last passage I want to look at. I wanted to look at Jesus' example. We'll push that to the side. This certainly could be even be another study for us, as important as that is. We could look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus getting away. But let's go to 1 John chapter 5 as we close. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request. We know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Ultimately, the answering of these, right? So that first verse, I want to focus really on that first part, but wanted to get the context of what he's saying here. So there's this confidence that we have, John says. This is John, the beloved disciple. And we have toward him, thinking of God, that if we ask anything, we could just pause there. And there's a whole set of preachers that we call prosperity preachers and so on and so forth. And I won't go down that rabbit trail. I've talked about that before, that where we can they just sort of stop the verse there and don't read the rest. And ultimately, you're missing it if you stop it in the middle. If someone quotes me and stops in the middle, that's usually not a good thing. There's something ultimately that you're missing if it's right in the middle of a phrase here. But it isn't. We can ask anything of him. Yes, according to his will, he hears us. Again, thinking back to even what I implied earlier, right? So how do we know what God's will is? Well, objectively, we know it in his word. We know it objectively in his word. And that ultimately is building upon the lessons we've had the last couple of weeks. And yet, of course, there is a subjective way that the Spirit leads us and guides us, but it is subjective. In other words, I could be wrong. The Apostle Paul describes that ultimately he thought God was leading him to go to one city, and he's on his way. God leads him somewhere else. And so he had to say, I was wrong about that one. God led me somewhere else. And it was actually way out of the way. Paul wasn't happy about it, but ultimately God led him in that way. Any of us could miscalculate in that way. But if we ask anything according to his will, and so there's a sense in which when we pray according to God's will, we should always have faith in our prayers. Now, ultimately, that's his principle here as well. But there's a confidence that we can have. So when we're praying about the cause of missions, that is God's will. We can pray with a confidence that God wants people to hear the gospel, to be saved, to be discipled. We don't have to wonder, God, do you want us? Do you want us to pray for our city? God, do you want to reach people here? Of course he does. He has revealed that in his word. And as we ask other things according to his word that are less clear to us, we ultimately have to ask, understanding that ultimately we have to apply, trust all those things to him and his providence. And yet, verse 15, if we know that he hears us, now that's understanding what we saw in verse 14, in whatever we ask. Think about that, the fact that God hears our prayers. You've probably heard me mention that before. That can become common to us. And yet, what an incredible thing that we as these little tiny created creatures on this little ball floating around in the solar system, that God hears your prayers. Whether it's one of those little prayers for gravy, or whether it's a prayer for a child who is wayward from the Lord, or a prayer for a struggling marriage, or for a prayer for cancer, God hears our prayers, every one of them. You remember when we saw in Revelation that the prayers of the saints are gathered in a bowl? I mean, there's an image in which God knows and holds onto our prayers. It's just an incredible thought that the God of the universe has. It's on one hand being omnipotent and having none of the limitations that we have. On one hand, it's hard for us to conceive how could it be, but not only can it be, but the fact that he is intentional and he cares. And so as we pray all these things, we should do it with faith. We should do it recognizing his will, having confidence in that. And we pray without ceasing because of the importance of prayer. prayer. We need it. We are dependent upon God for everything. That's something Joy and I have taught, have worked really, really hard to emphasize to our children that like, you know, why do you pray over every meal? Well, because God supplied this meal for us. That's the only reason we have food. Only reason I have breath in my life today, only reason I'm breathing right now that I haven't fallen flat is because of God's provision for me. So, to remember God's dependence on us. Prayer helps us to do that. But yet, it's not only sort of just to help us, and we often will say things like, oh yeah, well, prayer changes us, and it does in important ways. Yet God also asks, when you pray according to my will, I will meet those prayers. I will hear those prayers. God hears everything, but hearing in a way of receiving, and ultimately in a way that he would answer. Any final thoughts as we close tonight, thinking about prayer? So many other things we could reflect on here. Anybody? Yeah, Joy. Imprecatory, yeah. How many of you heard of an imprecatory psalm? Anybody? So it's a big, weird word. Basically, it's those psalms that are prayers against enemies, right? Prayers of judgment against enemies. Some of them are very graphic. Read through the psalms here, and there's a handful of them. We call them imprecatory. It's they're graphic in this way, ultimately. Several things that I could say about it that would be too long, and also maybe I need to just do a whole Wednesday night on it sometime. It's honestly, it's a worthy point because it's in God's revealed word. But there's a couple things that I'll say. Number one is the imprecatory psalms always are trusting that God would do it. It's not David taking it on himself. So I remember I had a professor in college who would pray imprecatory psalms against terrorists. And I remember always thinking, this is weird, you know. And he would say, God, may their bombs explode on themselves and not hurt anyone else. That sounds like a really graphic thing to say. But in other words, God, protect other people and bring justice on that man who's trying to do evil. I remember a pastor one time praying an imprecatory psalm. There was a husband who was beating his wife badly. And sort of the prayer was something like, God, break that man down. Keep him from hurting anyone else. And those sound like really graphic things, but the point is that it's a prayer that ultimately trusts in God doing that thing rather than going and doing it ourselves. And so praying for justice, that's God's will. Justice is not evil. Justice is good. But what does the Bible say? Ultimately, vengeance belongs to God. I'm forgetting it. Let's see. I memorized it. No, I memorized it in Spanish. I was going to quote it for you. No temas en tus manos la justicia. I can't remember the rest of it, but it's basically that. Yeah, do not take justice in your own hands, for vengeance is mine, says the Lord. There's more to it than that. I'm getting it lost, but trying to memorize in Spanish so that I can also pray in that way. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. Again, a whole lot more that could be said about that. We could even look at some particular ones, but there's a time and a place for that. Justice is good. You just read the book of Revelation, right? God will bring justice one day, but it's God who will enact these things. So when we ultimately look to God for justice, that is praying according to his will. Especially when it's things that have been done objectively in here. And there's plenty of other qualifications that I could make for that. But yeah, that's a good thought. Anything else before we close? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. What an appropriate way for us to close. Our God in heaven, we do pray in confidence in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son. It is in his name that ultimately we have access to you, and only in that name. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have a greater hunger for prayer. God, a greater knowledge of prayer that would feed that hunger. God, help us to pray without ceasing. Meaning, God, help us to live our lives in a spirit of prayer, to be continuously in fellowship with the Spirit, not doing and living things in a certain way that would hinder, but God, only what would rather be helping, God, our prayers. Our God, I pray that you would fill us with joy in our prayers, strengthen us. Ultimately, God, help us to use our prayers, God, for good, that ultimately you would give us the words to say when we don't know what to say. oh God, that you would hear our prayers according to your perfect will. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these things now. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great evening.